Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. It's God's house, and He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Last Sunday, our message was about temptation. And this morning, the message shall extend to include the study of how we go from temptation to sin, to committing sin, and the consequences of sinning. Almost everybody looks for an excuse to do what he or she desires. That's the nature of us human beings. We're living in an anything goes, just let it flow society. We shall do just about anything, and we will listen to just about anybody to obtain what we want. And nowhere is this attitude more evident than in our text this morning. Our text is a familiar passage from the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. And I shall read different sections of this passage throughout the message. And I invite you to have your Bibles available or one from the pew rack in front of you so that you can follow along as I read each section. And may God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. Now, in this selection of texts, God has created the earth. And He has created Adam and Eve. I should say, not in this selection, but prior to our selection. And God has admonished Adam and his helper, the woman, which Adam subsequently named Eve, not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil located in the middle of the Garden of Eden. But in spite of this admonition from God, Adam and Eve set their sights on what they desired, the fruit from the tree of knowledge. And all they needed was justification to act on their desires. And the serpent in tempting them gave them the justification to do so. When Satan tempts us to act contrary to God's dictates, we must not be caught up in the madness. We must not be caught up in the drama. We must not be caught up in the half-truths and misinformation which Satan espouses. We must not be caught up in the activities which Satan desires for us to pursue. In other words, do not believe the hype. Our son-in-law, Adam, as many of you know, is a senior art director at the Martin Agency, an advertising agency in Richmond. And I like to talk shop with him because it's interesting how they make commercials and how they come up with the ideas. In fact, he's coming in Tuesday from Los Angeles and Arizona and Florida and North Carolina. He's been gone 2 weeks working on ads. And his favorite response when I ask him about an ad of a competitor is, don't believe the hype. So I have to kind of give him a little credit for the title today. But it's true, we must not be caught up in the hype. We must not believe Satan when he tells us that sin is not wrong or is not harmful. Do not believe Satan when he says the wages of sin is pleasure and not death. When we begin to believe the hype, we find ourselves caught in three traps. The first trap is the setup. And if you'll follow along with me as I read the first section of our text selection today, Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Surely you will not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Satan is subtle, conniving, calculating, shrewd, sly, crafty. Satan is the best salesman the world has ever known. And he practices his craft every day, all day, 24/7. Of Satan, Jesus stated, as recorded by the Apostle John, "He is a liar, the father of all liars." And one of Satan's main objectives is to convince us to commit acts we should not commit, acts which are contrary to God's teachings and commands. In other words, he wants to convince us to sin. If we look at verse 1 in the text, he, meaning the serpent, he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden?" When you listen to Satan, he does two things to your mind. He makes us question God's word, and makes God appear to be harsher in his treatment of us, in his discipline of us, than he really is. We must understand, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had only one rule. Not 100, not 50, not 10. They had only one rule they were required to obey. Not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the only thing they had to do in order to stay in this paradise, to live free from work, toil, free from hunger, free from thirst. That's all they had to do, was obey this one rule. There were many trees from which they could eat fruit. It wasn't as if they were starving and this was the only tree bearing fruit in the garden. There were many trees, but Adam and Eve passed these by in order to eat from the tree of knowledge. Satan will try anything to set us up for a fall. However, do not believe the hype. Satan will attempt to convince us to think negatively about God. He will make it seem like God is a burden for us to follow. We begin thinking, "I can't do so-and-so because God won't allow me." Instead, we should be thinking, "I should not do so-and-so because it will not glorify God." We must realize it's a setup. Of course, when suddenly stops working for Satan, he begins to call God a flat-out liar. In verse 4 of our text that I just read, the serpent said, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Satan uses these half-truths. Here in the garden, the serpent was not lying. He was just not telling the whole truth. He merely showed Eve the possibilities of the benefits of eating this fruit. Then you'll be as smart as God. Then you'll know good from evil. He didn't bother to go on and tell her the consequences. Satan will show you the pleasure of alcohol, not the results of alcoholism. Satan will show you the pleasure of illicit sex, but not the results of AIDS. Satan will show you the pleasures of addiction to drugs, but not the results of the addiction. Do not believe the hype. Do not fall into the trap of the setup. One who is trapped by the setup will eventually sell out God. Adam and Eve made a moral decision in verse 6 based on a physical desire instead of God's law. In essence, they said, if it feels good, do it. Yet do not believe the hype. When we decide to make our own moral laws in contravention of God's teachings and commands, based on our own thinking and not on what God wants us to do, then we are appointing ourselves as God. Then we are saying we know what's best. We know what we should do for us. We must understand as human beings that we do have desires. We do have appetites. Appetites for food and power and popularity and money and sex and so forth. And these appetites in and of themselves are not necessarily wrong, but we must control them. When I go to a restaurant to eat, I must realize that I have to limit my carbohydrate intake because I'm diabetic. And if I don't, I suffer the consequences of high blood sugar that could result in loss of a limb, loss of eyesight, stroke, many, many horrible consequences. But I crave carbohydrates. And occasionally, I convince myself that I can have them on that particular day. But it's up to us to control ourselves. We know the consequences. It's the same with sinning against God. We know the consequences. But yet Satan gives us the setup. He sets us up. And then next comes the second trap, the cover-up. The setup will lead to the cover-up. Let's look at verses 7 through 13 of chapter 3. The eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." Covering up our sins may hide it from others, but guess what? It does not hide it from God. And if you've been attending church for any time at all, you know this is the truth. We can fool our friends, even our loved ones, our co-workers, people in our social groups, but we cannot fool God. Adam and Eve attempted, after they fell for the setup, after they believed the serpent and committed the sin, then they tried to cover up, to hide themselves for the presence of God among the trees in this beautiful garden. They tried to hide their bodies with fig leaves. God exposes and convicts us when we try to cover up our sin. We hear His voice in our daily prayer, in when we're sitting in church, and when our conscience is being pricked. God asks Adam, "Where are you?" Now we know God knows where Adam is. But God wanted Adam to know where he, God, was. He wanted Adam to know that he was there. And he knew that they were hiding from him. And he knew what they had done. God wanted Adam to know that he could not cover up and run and hide and fool him. When we fall for the setup, God must expose our cover-up to bring us back to the relationship with Him that we need. Have, instead of coming clean, Adam did what we mentioned last Sunday. He started playing the blame game. He began to blame others for his mistake. In verse 12, he blamed the woman. And he also blamed God. "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." God likewise asked Eve, "What have you done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." Cover up is nothing more than an excuse for an actions. The devil made me do it. My parents didn't raise me properly. There's so much peer pressure. Everybody else is doing it. These are just excuses and a cover-up after we've fallen for the setup and committed the sin. To us, it's not about our gossiping tongues. It's about the horrible act which someone else committed and we just have to tell others. To us, it's never about the lie we told. It's about how we could not trust anyone else with the truth. Adam and Eve made a personal choice to disobey God. Do not believe the hype. Believing the hype will cause us to be set up by Satan. The setup will lead to the cover-up. And last but not least, every setup and every cover-up, there will always be the third trap, the payoff. Look at verses 14 through 19 of our text. "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.' To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. The payoff, the consequences. We must understand nothing in this life comes without a consequence. The Bible tells us, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. When we are caught up in the hype of the world, we are destined to be set up by Satan and lured into all types of sin. And as a result of sin, there is set up, as a result of the setup, we find ourselves in the midst of a cover-up. And yet the day will surely come when it'll be time to pay up. We should be glad and thankful we are not under the same penalty as Adam and Eve. They had no chance at eternal life. God says, from dust you came, from dust you shall return. You'll work hard, toil the land. It'll be painful labor. In childbirth, Eve will have more pain than she would have had if they had not disobeyed God. And even the serpent who set them up received his just due. We should be thankful and glad that God provided a way for us to escape that. We should be thankful and glad that God provided for our deliverance from the price of the setup and the cover-up. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, but God demonstrates his own love for you in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? I am glad that God sent his Son to pay the price and the penalty for my sins that I commit because of the setup by Satan, and certainly when we try to cover up what we've done. And if you're a believer here today and you haven't thanked God for that gift in a while, you need to do that as we sing our invitational hymn. Just say a silent prayer, thank you, Lord. Because we're all going to sin. We know that. God's word teaches that. None of us is sinless. The devil is a mighty adversary. He was defeated by Jesus. Jesus defeated devil and death and hell when he was crucified and rose from the dead. But we still have to contend with Satan because he wants to wreak as much havoc on us as he can before that final day when he's sent into the fiery lake. So he's tempting us. He's making it attractive. He's telling us half-truths, convincing us that sin is not wrong, that it's not harmful. And if you're here today and the Holy Spirit has convicted you that you were wrong for sinning and trying to cover it up, and that you need to let Jesus pay the price for your sins, and you're willing to accept him as Lord and Savior, then we invite you to do so, to come forward and make that profession of your faith as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 275, I Surrender.